It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday News. Thank you for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, it's your public radio station. Broadcasting from atop Signal Hill, overlooking beautiful downtown Kodiak, where it is a pretty nice day, 37 degrees. We're looking for a slight chance of rain and snow showers. Then partly sunny skies after 3 p.m. with a high near 41 today. South wind to 15 miles per hour, could gust as high as 25. Coming up on the Midday Report, new case counts statewide of COVID-19. Senator Sullivan highlights final passage of his Clean Ocean Bill. The first black teacher to be hired by the Anchorage School District is remembered. And there's an app out there to help you struggle with drugs and alcohol. All that and more after these national headlines.
In Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. President-elect Joe Biden this afternoon praised the fast work of police and investigators in Nashville after a Christmas Day explosion there, now ruled a suicide bombing. He spoke to reporters in Wilmington, Delaware.
I want to thank the police department in Nashville, particularly those five police officers worked so quickly to evacuate the area before the explosion occurred, risking their own lives. And for all the firefighters and first responders who jumped into action early on that Christmas morning, last Christmas morning.
Authorities have named a perpetrator. He's identified as 63-year-old Anthony Warner. Still no word on motive. President Trump has yet to comment. A House vote is slated for later this afternoon on a measure to boost pandemic stimulus checks to a total of $2,000, a sum requested by President Trump, who has now begrudgingly signed the overall mammoth government spending bill that includes COVID relief. NPR's Windsor Johnston has more.
The president had previously called the roughly $900 billion bipartisan relief bill a disgrace and demanded that lawmakers increase the second round of stimulus checks from $600 to $2,000. House Democrats on Friday took the president up on his offer, but were blocked by Republicans. Today, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she plans to put forth a standalone measure to boost relief payments for a full vote. President Trump has said the Senate would also start the process for a vote, but it's unlikely the bill will be taken up by the Republican-controlled chamber. Windsor Johnston, NPR News, Washington.
Despite advisories about the coronavirus and travel, the Transportation Security Administration calculates roughly 1.3 million people moved through U.S. airports yesterday, the greatest volume in more than 9 months. NPR's Dave Mistich has more.
Officials have been concerned that holiday gatherings and travel could lead to an uptick in coronavirus cases. Many parts of the U.S. saw a significant spike in cases following the Thanksgiving holiday. Admiral Brett Jerwal is an Assistant Secretary for Health and Human Services. He told ABC News that travelers need to be smart during trips that put them at higher risk of contracting the virus.
Wear a mask, watch your distance, and wash your hands, particularly if you're in busy airports where your handrails touch a lot of people have touched those.
According to Johns Hopkins University, more than 333,000 people in the U.S. have died due to the pandemic. Dave Mistich, NPR News.
Domestic airlines are working hard to keep personnel working as much as possible. Southwest says it's not going to furlough workers or cut pay next year, thanks to $15 billion in new federal aid to airlines. American and United say they plan to bring back furloughed workers at least temporarily. Wall Street approaching the close, the Dow was up 204 points, the S&P up 32 points. This is NPR. The post-Brexit trade deal, clinched on Christmas Eve, has now been provisionally approved by European governments. Terry Schultz reports this will allow the agreement to take effect on January 1st.
Ambassadors from the 27 remaining members of the European Union have given their formal backing to the trade and customs agreement worked out between the EU and UK last week. This agreement will prevent tariffs and quotas being imposed on UK goods entering the EU single market when the Brexit transition period officially ends December 31st. Although parliaments on both sides also need to approve the agreement, the European Parliament refused to call a special session to consider the more than 1,200-page accord on such a short timeline. That will only happen next month, but will not prevent what's being called the provisional application of the term starting Friday. The British Parliament will vote on the deal Wednesday and is expected to approve it. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
It's wall-to-wall COVID in British hospitals, according to the president of the Royal College of Emergency Medicine. As a result, non-urgent procedures are being scratched in hospitals in Britain as doctors scramble to find room for extremely ill coronavirus patients. Especially hard hit are hospitals in southeast England, some exceeding the severity of last spring's peak. British authorities are blaming a new, more transmissible variant of the virus. South Africa is considered the epicenter of the COVID outbreak on the continent of Africa, with nearly 27,000 coronavirus deaths there. South Africa's president says more than 50,000 new cases have been reported there since Christmas Eve. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Heather Sturt Haga and Paul G. Haga, supporting African Wildlife Foundation, working to ensure wildlife and wild lands thrive in modern Africa. Learn more at awf.org.
NPR News is presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
The Kodiak Area Emergency Services Organization is waiting for COVID-19 case counts to be compiled from over the weekend, but they have provided up-to-date hospitalization counts. There have been 37 local hospitalizations to date in Kodiak, with three patients currently hospitalized. The case counts from Saturday the 26th reported 15 new cases of COVID-19 on Kodiak, including 13 close contact cases, one travel-related case, and one community spread case. This brings the total case count to 872 cases to date in Kodiak, with 102 cases classified as active locally. There have been five local deaths due to COVID-19 to date. The number of Alaskans hospitalized with confirmed cases of COVID-19 has dropped to its lowest level since mid-October. Case counts appear to be on the decline following statewide public health warnings and a set of strict public health measures that went into effect several weeks ago in Anchorage. On Sunday, 65 Alaskans were hospitalized with confirmed cases of COVID-19, according to the state's coronavirus tracking website. New COVID cases over the Christmas holiday ranged from a low of 162 cases on Christmas Day to 320 cases yesterday. Despite declining case counts in Alaska, some national experts worry that holiday travel and gatherings could lead to a spike in cases. Case counts likely won't reflect that holiday bump for several weeks. Meanwhile, vaccination efforts in Alaska continue, with the state health department reporting that over 12,000 people have received the first doses of the vaccine as of Sunday. That's about 1.5% of the state's population. Alaska Republican Senator Dan Sullivan is highlighting the passage of his bipartisan legislation aimed at cleaning up plastic in the ocean and reducing that pollution. The bill is called Save Our Seas 2.0, building on the first version of the bill approved in 2018. This update was introduced by Sullivan and Democrats Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island and Bob Menendez of New Jersey. Congress finalized it this fall, and President Trump signed it on December 18th.
Well, it's an issue that everybody cares about, cleaning up the oceans. It's going to be huge for Alaska and our fisheries, but really important for America. It puts our country in the lead again on this issue, and it's a solvable issue. 10 rivers in Asia and Africa are estimated to be responsible for up to 80% of all the plastic pollution in the world. And this targets that.
The bill aims to reduce the supply of plastic waste entering the ocean with grants for study of waste management and mitigation in the U.S. It also formalizes U.S. policy on international agreements and aims to improve outreach to other countries about the problem. The bill creates a Marine Debris Response Trust Fund for the cleanup. Sullivan says the bill also focuses on research in that area.
That has a congressionally chartered Ocean Debris Foundation that will be headquartered somewhere. We think it should be headquartered in Alaska, and I think that's going to be an important aspect of that bill, keeping us on the lead for ocean cleanup, the research that needs to go into that, and so that's something we're going to be following up on.
Sullivan says a third version of the bill is already in the works. The first black teacher to be hired on contract by the Anchorage School District died recently. Hired in 1959, Etheldra Davis went on to become the district's first black principal. She was considered a trailblazer by the education community in Anchorage. And public media's education reporter, Mayoa Aina, has this remembrance.
Etheldra Davis moved to Anchorage from Los Angeles in 1959 after visiting two older brothers who had previously moved to the brand new state for work.
She loved it. I guess she liked the fact that it was smaller, you know, less crime. Not as much going on, not the hustle bustle of the city where she had grown up at. And so she decided to move back and transfer her teaching credentials to Alaska for the opportunity.
That's Davis's daughter, Andrea Antoine. As the first black teacher hired on contract by the Anchorage School District, Antoine says her mother broke barriers, but it wasn't easy.
I have a lot of photos of her, you know, from back in the 50s and 60s, where she was the only one. Like, there'd be a training, and she would be the only black person there. She went through a lot of scrutiny from, you know, people that didn't want her to be hired or what have you. So she did face pushback from people in the community, but she had more support than non-support, and that overcame, you know, the obstacles that she was facing during those times.
Antoine says her mother was a giver and actively involved in the community. Davis was a member of the local chapter of the NAACP. She helped found several youth mentoring organizations like the NAACP Youth Council and the United League of Girls, and she helped organize the Neighborhood Watch program in Anchorage. Davis was also part of a group of black educators called the Black Educators Task Force, which helped recruit more black teachers and administrators to the district. It was a group that inspired longtime educator and current ASD school board member Margot Bellamy early on in her career.
Her being the first and making a way for others to follow, that's what we call trailblazing.
Bellamy says the group inspired her to gain additional teaching credentials and degrees, and Davis in particular became a role model and a mentor.
People don't have safe places to go where they can get some wisdom, all right, and not be judged. And back in the day, she was one of my safe places where I could go and say, look, I don't know why this is happening, but what do you think? What would you recommend?
Bellamy not only counted Davis as a mentor, but a sorority sister as well, in the historically black Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated. By the time she died, Davis had spent more than 50 years in the organization, making her a golden soror. AKAs are known for their signature colors, pink and green, and their sorority pearls, which Bellamy says Davis donned proudly.
Oh, yeah, honey. She loved the pink and green. And if you would get her pissed off, she would clutch them pearls, okay? And that means that I'm going to be mad, but I'm going to be mad with dignity.
During her career, Davis taught at Airport Heights, Government Hill, and Mountain View Elementary Schools. She served as assistant principal at Willowcrest Elementary, and in 1969, she was hired as principal at Fairview Elementary, just down the street from her home. The hire made her the district's first black principal. In 2019, Davis was recognized by the Anchorage Assembly for her contributions to the community. Assemblymember Forrest Dunbar read a long list of her accomplishments.
Her care is legendary. Now, therefore, the Anchorage Assembly recognizes Dr. Etheldra S. Jordan Davis for her trailblazing contributions to the municipality of Anchorage and the Anchorage School District. Passed and approved by the Anchorage Assembly this third day of December 2019.
Last month in November, Davis contracted COVID-19. Antoine was also sick with the virus, but she didn't want to leave her mother in the hospital where she couldn't receive visitors.
So I brought her home, and she did pass away here at home. Myself, my husband, my granddaughter was here, and several other family and friends were here. So that was a blessing that we were able to be with her, you know what I mean, instead of her being in the hospital alone.
Davis died on November 25th at the age of 89. In Anchorage, I'm Mayowa Aina.
People are drinking more as they struggle to deal with the pandemic. Tiffany Hall with Recover Alaska says, survey statistics indicate that people are using both drugs and alcohol more than they were before the pandemic began.
So almost a third of people are using alcohol or drugs just to deal with kind of the new normal. And 33% said that they used more alcohol now than before the pandemic.
Recover Alaska is offering help through an app developed by a professor at UAA. The app is available on iPhones and Androids and can help people track and reduce their drinking. There's even some studies funded by the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism that back up those claims.
It's shown to cut down the days people engaged in heavy drinking by 60% and reduce their overall number of drinks by 50%. So pretty high numbers. Much higher than anything I've ever seen for an app before.
To get the app, all people need to do is go to recoveralaska.org and click on the Get Help Now. The app is being offered free by the organization. Some baby formula is getting through to Russian mission mothers now, thanks to a social media organizing effort. KYUK's Olivia Eberts has this report.
This month, our story about the baby formula shortage in Russian Mission caught the eye of artist and activist C.J. Johnson, who stepped in to organize a big donation. The post office in Russian Mission has been intermittently closed for nearly half a year. The Village Store and Mothers on WIC both rely on the postal service for formula shipments and have been running dangerously low. When Johnson caught wind of the story, she posted the information to her Facebook page, Coutine Creations, and to her Reddit page. She got many messages of support and offers to donate supplies. Johnson organized the donation deliveries, and they were dropped off last week. Although Johnson has never been to the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta in person, she knows the struggles of the region well. Born and raised in Sitka, she was friends with many YK Delta Village students who attended the Mount Edgecombe boarding school with her. Of half Sioux, half Tlingit ancestry herself, she says she spent many years working in tribal governance in Alaska as well as the lower 48.
I've worked with and for, dozens of tribes, the Alaska Native Corporations.
In short, Johnson was uniquely prepared to help with the relief efforts for the mothers in Russian Mission. Johnson originally started her Facebook page as a platform for selling her art and beadwork. But when the pandemic struck, beading took on a whole new role.
I noticed that a lot of, you know, our Native peoples were having some difficulties coping with the burden of self-isolation and quarantine. So I started this this beading project called Bead Your State.
Johnson herself beaded Alaska and Washington and invited Natives from all over the U.S. to join and help her complete the map. The project grew to include the provinces of Canada, and her platform suddenly grew to thousands of followers. Johnson has also always used her platform for political posts. But this fall, she found a new use for it, organizing donations. In October, when she heard the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation was dangerously low on gloves, she started organizing a team to donate supplies, and soon the efforts expanded. Now Johnson also coordinates donations of hand-sewn masks, other personal protective equipment for healthcare workers, baby formula, and many other supplies to villages. In just 2 months, her team has grown to dozens of volunteers. Donated supplies are sent to a storeroom owned by the Chilista Corporation in Anchorage, where they are inventoried, organized, and packed up to be shipped off to the villages.
The last thing we wanted to do was send 5,000 masks to, you know, a village with 400 people, because they don't need that many.
And Johnson knows well that the post office can't always be relied on in rural Alaska, so she prefers to coordinate deliveries directly through small carriers like Ryanair, which is donating its services to her relief efforts.
I'm really good at getting people to help.
She's not lying. CJ Johnson is a master connector. The way she got Ryanair to help? She reached out to her former high school classmate who is married to its president. And Russian Mission is benefiting from CJ's efforts. Margie Larson is a Russian Mission mom of a 5-year-old and a 7-month-old. She hasn't gotten a formula delivery from WIC in almost 2 months. She was relieved to get the canisters from CJ.
I was posting almost every day on Facebook trying to look for formula, any kind of formula, because my daughter was out. We were really, really happy for that package that came in.
But the donation formula will only last her 2 weeks. A temporary postmaster was supposed to show up early last week, according to a representative for USPS. But Olga Changsak, the tribal administrator, says she was 2 days late. The tribe was concerned she would only be in town for 1 day and would not have enough time to get to all of the WIC boxes. Russian Mission still has one applicant for the position of postmaster who is waiting to hear back. But the process usually takes at least 30 days, and the company handling the background checks has been slow since the start of the pandemic. In the meantime, CJ Johnson is sending more donated formula. In Bethel, I'm Olivia Eberts.
KMXT Local News is underwritten in part by
GCI. GCI has adjusted store hours across the state to keep our customers and employees as safe as possible during this time. The most up-to-date store hours are available on GCI.com.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch, turning fish bones into broth. More on another booming byproduct after this.
The Alaska Marine Safety Education Association provides Coast Guard accepted training for fishermen across Alaska. Learn more at amc.org.
Using more parts of every fish is rapidly gaining more popularity, and broths made from bones and other fish parts are becoming all the rage for health enthusiasts around the globe. Bone broths are loaded with vital nutrients like calcium, iodine, and minerals. They've also been found to help support thyroid health, and its natural electrolytes boost muscle repair after workouts. But the top ingredient is its collagen-based gelatin.
Gelatin is good for your skin and your hair and your bones, and some people claim it restores gut health. It's just a nutrient-dense food that is not very common in the standard American diet anymore.
Randy Hartnell is founder and president of Vital Choice, a web-based seafood company that's broadening the appeal of fish bone broth well beyond Alaska. He says the stock was common in our ancestral diet and is coming back due to new health trends.
Sort of following the paleo nutrition rage and really been growing over the last 2 or 3 years. This year, indeed, we saw many bone broth companies. We didn't see many fish broth companies, though. That's not something that's very common yet. We're really pleased to be able to offer that.
A handful of Alaska companies is also on the fish broth bandwagon. Rich Clark, owner of Alaska Black Cod, makes his stock out of leftover sablefish carcasses. Ed's Kasiloff Seafood's halibut bone broth was a Beyond the Plate entry at a Symphony of Seafoods competition. And Alaska Broth Company founder David Chesick hopes that one day his blend will be known as Alaska's Coffee. Randy Hartnell points out another benefit to the fish broth's growing popularity, the reduction of fish waste.
The bones and carcasses, skin, whatnot, forever has just been discarded. And this is a way to take and use some of those byproducts to create something that is so unique, so healthy, from sustainable fish.
Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Monday. It is the 28th day of December, still the year 2020. The sun rose today at 9:54, and it will set again at 4:30 this afternoon, giving us 6 hours and 35 minutes of precious daylight. That is a gain of 1 minute and 4 seconds compared to yesterday. So that's nice. Looking at our local district tides, we have a high tide, just had a high tide here on the east side at 12:23 p.m. of 9.46 feet. Our next low tide will be at 7:21 p.m., slight minus tide, minus 0.35 feet, followed by a high tide at 1:55 a.m. of 7 feet. And our low tide for tomorrow morning here on the east side will be at 6:53 a.m., 3.24 feet. Over on the west side, these are Uganic Pass tides. You have a high tide coming up at 12:56 p.m. of 15.07 feet, followed by a low tide at 7:44 p.m. of minus 0.6 feet. Your next high tide will be at 2:07 a.m. of 13.9 feet, and your low tide for tomorrow morning on the west side will be at 7:46 a.m. and come in at 3.87 feet. Currently 39 degrees here in Kodiak. The record high is 49. That was set in 1990. And the record low was 5, set in 1979. I think I remember that. No, probably not. We're looking for a slight chance of rain and snow showers up to 4 p.m. Partly sunny skies after that with a high near 41. South wind 15 miles per hour. Could gust as high as 25. For tonight, showers are likely mainly after 4 a.m. Mostly cloudy skies tonight with a low of about 35. South wind to 15, could gust to 25 after midnight. Chance of precipitation overnight is 60%. For tomorrow, showers are likely before 1 p.m., then just a chance of rain between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. tomorrow. Scattered showers after 4 p.m. Cloudy skies with a high near 40. East wind to 25 miles per hour, should decrease to 15 tomorrow afternoon. And for tomorrow night, scattered rain showers before 1 a.m., then scattered snow showers. Cloudy skies tomorrow night, gradually becoming partly cloudy skies with a low of about 31. Southeast wind becoming northwest tomorrow evening, could gust as high as 20. Mariners, here is your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A 995 millibar low, 300 nautical miles west of Sitka, will move Monday evening to 75 nautical miles. There's more. South of Cordova Tuesday morning. Its front will extend across the eastern and northern Gulf before dissipating Tuesday afternoon. Your updated forecast calls for a gale warning today for Kodiak's east side offshore. Marmot Island to Sitkanak. South wind 40 knots right now. Should diminish to 25 knots this afternoon. Seas to 18 feet. Should diminish to 16 feet tonight. For tomorrow, look for southeast wind to 30 knots and seas to 14 feet. And for Wednesday, look for southwest 30, seas 13 feet. Over in the Shelikof, and you have a small craft advisory through Saturday, or through Tuesday. South wind to 25 knots, should diminish to 15 knots this afternoon. East wind to 20 knots tonight, increase to 30 knots after midnight. Seas will build to 9 feet after midnight tonight in the Shelikof. For Tuesday, look for east wind to 30 knots, subsiding to 20 knots Tuesday afternoon. Seas 8 feet, should subside to 5 feet tomorrow afternoon. And for Tuesday night, south wind to 25 knots, seas to 5 feet in the Shelikof. For inside waters, Chiniak and Marmot Bay, small craft advisories for both. Chiniak Bay, south wind to 25 knots right now, should diminish to 15 knots this afternoon. Seas 4 feet, should subside to 2 feet this afternoon. For tomorrow in Chiniak Bay, east wind to 25 knots, seas to 7 feet. In Marmot Bay, south wind to 30 knots right now, should diminish to 20 knots this afternoon. Seas to 10 feet in Marmot Bay right now, should subside to 5 feet this afternoon. For tonight, look for southwest wind to 15 knots, becoming east 25 after midnight. Seas building to 10 feet after midnight tonight in Marmot Bay. And for tomorrow in Marmot Bay, east wind to 25 knots and seas to 10 feet.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.